The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 12 noon Central Time where we are, and we have Jack Cashel on the Skype with us. You can actually see him live in the flesh if you are watching us live stream. And Jack has a book out which you need to get your hands on, because it goes into detail about the perspective of women who were at the Capitol on January 6th. The name of the book is called Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th. And it wasn't just Ashley that was killed. It was also Roseanne Boylan. And even though Roseanne Boylan was pretty much, you know, from all reports, was suffering from, you know, technically being smothered. But then a Capitol police officer, Lila Harris, who has not been prosecuted, to my understanding, or charged with assault with, intent to commit murder, whatever the case may be, she continued to waylay on Roseanne Boylan with her police baton. And the woman was already on the ground, and she continued to knock her in the head, and Roseanne Boylan did not make it either. Was that a fair statement, Jack? I mean, is there more detail that you want to fill us in on?
A couple little details. One is, yeah, I mean, you described it pretty close to accurate. The difference is that Roseanne Boylan, right, she was suffocated under a human pile. First of all, the Capitol, this was the Metropolitan Police Department, not the Capitol Police.
Right.
And they were trying to clear a tunnel. So they gassed the people in the tunnel. So they were couldn't breathe or barely breathe to begin with. And then they pushed him out down these makeshift stairs. Roseanne Boylan got caught at the bottom of the pile. And then by the time she got pulled out, she was unconscious. She may have been dead. She was probably dying. And that's when Lila Morris, the police officer, what a 5'2", 100-pound woman is doing at the front line of a confrontation is a tribute to the insanity of DEI. But having lost her baton, she picks up a branch. Like that had fallen from the, who knows where, the crowd threw it up, and she starts hitting over the top of the head, right? This is a woman who's sitting there, you know, turning blue, and she's hitting over. That's your therapy, is to beat her to death? She hit her so hard, the branch broke in half, and her fellow officers had to pull her off. She was so enraged, you know? There's a racial component to this, too, just as there was with Michael Byrd and Ashley Babbitt. We can't talk about that in either case. Roseanne Boylan's story is interesting because it was also the Ashley Babbitt's was too public an execution to be covered up. Roseanne Boylan's was not. It was totally smothered. The story was smothered just like she was. It was not allowed out. And when it did come out, and she, by the way, she comes from a liberal family who contacted MSNBC to try to get at the truth, right? And then the MSNBC reporter realized he was being pulled down a rabbit hole that he wasn't expecting. He was getting stonewalled at every point by the police and by the medical examiner's office of Washington, D.C., which was part of the cabal there running things. And when they finally release her autopsy report, Roseanne's, 90 days at the very limit of when they can release an autopsy report, they mentioned nothing about the pile, nothing about her smothering, nothing about her getting hit over the head while she's dying by a police officer. They say instead that, you know, she had ADHD and she'd been taking Adderall for it, and she died of an amphetamine overdose, right? The family was horrified. And the reason they were horrified is because their daughter or sister had been fighting for years to come clean. She had been a drug user. And she did. And this was the first election she voted in. And she was, her father said it was the happiest day of her life. She got to vote for Donald Trump. And the family was, you know, mystified by her coming to Trump, you know, basically, or taking the red pill about the way the world turned. So that's why they contacted MSNBC, thinking MSNBC could help them explain the hold Trump had over their daughter, or the hold QAnon had over, or whatever. But what they found out instead was that she was killed in a police action, and the police covered it up, and the medical examiner's office helped. And so that's the end of the story. And so they went back to the authorities and are saying, what happened to all the eyewitness evidence of the pile, the suffocating, the trampling, you know, the beating? What happened to that? Nope. Too much Adderall, amphetamine overdose, no murder, just another incidental death on January 6th to these stupid protesters among them.
This is just beyond belief. And see, you know, what Esther was positing before we went to break was that Obama probably had something to do with this. Now, when you went through all of this to put the book together and you were talking to various people, did Obama's name even come up in the conversation?
Yes. Well, Obama's name is critical here because he was the one under whom they launched the initial cabal, the initial coup against Donald Trump. That is the whole Russia collusion hoax. That was overseen by Obama. He was, I'm sure he kept his hands clean as he could. Or as Susan Rice said, they do everything by the book. Do everything by the book. Yeah, right. And so once that was launched and that coup failed, then they, you know, tried a couple others, and including two impeachments, the Hunter Biden laptop hoax, the 51 intel officers, the people out in the hinterlands. I mean, the flyover people, like the women I cover, you know, a lot of them don't have college degrees, but they pay attention. They knew what was happening. That's why they're in Washington on January 6th. They knew about the Russia collusion hoax. They knew about the 51 intel officers scam. They knew about, you know, Operation Crossfire. They followed the news that their more enlightened sisters are utterly oblivious of. And that's what triggered them to be there. And Obama was essentially at the initiating stage of this whole prolonged, protracted, double, triple sequence coup against Donald Trump.
But we're not seeing any, as far as day of involvement from Obama. We're not. I mean, I'm seeing more Pelosi, more Bowser, Capitol Police, Dunn. I mean, these are people I'm seeing more of this direct involvement in the staging of this thing to make it go down the way they wanted it to, so they could point a finger at Trump for January 6th and basically for starting an insurrection, which, of course, the whole thing was made up. Because in my book, an insurrection means you take to arms, you show up by the hundreds of thousands, you overrun the Capitol building, you take out everybody that gets in your way, you remove Congress as it sits, you remove the president as he sits, and you institute a whole new government. That is an insurrection. You look at Shay's Rebellion. That was kind of an insurrection, right. But you know, because it involved arms. But you are right when you're talking about, you know, some of the people you interviewed asking, you know, what is it with all these gun-toting Americans showing up without their guns? And, you know, this is why we're all sitting there going, gee, I wonder if this is going to happen again, and I wonder how America is going to react to that. Based on all the research and stuff, could this happen, and would they react differently?
Well, I mean, I think the people who went to January 6th would know enough not to get pulled into a trap. And you're right, Obama, his hands are pretty clean on the January 6th part. The one woman who has an interesting relationship to this story is Kamala Harris. And you know this, Dave, but just for those who don't, she was the one who unwittingly, unintentionally, I'm sure, put a curve, threw a wrench into the whole proceedings. She's, you know, 1 o'clock on that day was the witching hour of January 6th. A couple things are happening there. That's when Ray Epps gets to the front of the line. He and his crew start breaching the outer perimeter. At 1 o'clock, the pipe bombs are discovered, one at the RNC and one at the DNC. I put all this in quotes because some of this is fantasy. Those two parts are true. At 1 o'clock is when Mike Pence, a couple of minutes before one, announces that he's not going to send the, back to the States for auditing or whatever was expected of him, but that he was going to play by the rules, and he did. And This is all going on. One is Donald Trump, because he starts an hour late. He starts his speech an hour late. He doesn't start till noon. He speaks just till 1:15 at the Ellipse, which is a 45-minute walk away from the Capitol. Anything he said on the Ellipse was irrelevant to what happened at the Capitol, because none of those people listening were at the front of the riot. Ray Epps didn't hear Donald Trump speak. His people didn't hear Donald Trump speak. So that was one part of the plan that was kind of screwed up. The other part was Kamala Harris. She's not at the Capitol where everyone thinks she is, but she's at the DNC office, which meant that she had a Secret Service detail with her, which meant that their dogs did a sweep of the building before 1 o'clock when the bombs were found and there were no bombs. But here's the giveaway, is that even though she was allegedly, she was at the DNC, there was a bomb or something like it, found at the DNC at 1 o'clock, and the next year, Kamala Harris nor Joe Biden said word one about how Kamala was within feet of being destroyed by these pro-Trump bombers, you know, which was the narrative that they wanted to sell. But Kamala couldn't help sell it, because Kamala was the dog that didn't bark. Like in the Sherlock Holmes story, you know, there's a dog, his watchdog is watching this racehorse. Sherlock Holmes comes to investigate, says, hey, what time did the dog bark? And the guy says, you know, that's a curious thing. The dog didn't bark. Sherlock Holmes says, aha, the dog knew the thief, right? In this case, Kamala Harris doesn't know necessarily the name of the bomber, but she knows enough to know to keep her mouth shut. She knows enough to know that this person or persons should not be found, because they were clearly part of a plan that had nothing to do with the Trump protesters. Otherwise, she'd been squawking. She'd been barking about this for the last 3.5 years, and she hasn't said word one. And for a year, she didn't even say where she was. And the result of that was that multiple prosecutors were charging protesters with endangering her life at the Capitol. And she wasn't at the Capitol. So when it was finally revealed a year later that she was at the DNC, they had to go back and amend all those filings. Just some more mess for the prosecutors. Good thing. Didn't stop them.
No, it didn't. And they still are continuing to arrest people that were there, as they can be identified. And, you know, the sad thing about it is we have very stupid people out in the hinterland that are calling up and giving tips and ratting out their neighbor, whether they were there or not, if they even thought they were. It's like they look at this United States of America, Inc., because they are. It is not the constitutional republic that we the people think it is. It's an incorporation. And these people, I mean, you've done enough research to know that, Jack, I'm sure. And the situation becomes now that we're looking at this book. People will be very incensed when they read what the United States government did and how they lied. There's a cover of the book right there for those of you watching. And I mean, here is a woman who is a retired Air Force, or basically, yeah, she's a retired Air Force veteran, right, being shot to death by a cop. She was unarmed.
Yeah.
There was no reason for it, but it happened. And the guy's not being charged. Lila Morris wasn't being charged. Nobody's getting charged. Brian Sicknick died of a stroke. He wasn't murdered.
Byrd was promoted from lieutenant to captain. Lila Morris, who beat over the head the dying Roseanne Boylan, was rewarded with a trip to the Super Bowl a month later to celebrate her heroism, part of the whole DEI salesmanship. And one other person involved, a guy named Bagshaw, a Metropolitan Police officer, who beat Victoria White bloody, the most grotesque police beating of a woman ever captured on video. And he was promoted too. And this is all these incidences were captured on video. It's not like there's a mystery. But if you don't formally investigate it, as happened in all three cases, there's no formal DOJ investigation. Nothing happens except you get promoted.
Well, the danger of all this is come November. And I don't know what you've heard, but there has been speculation. I don't even know the women that you interviewed for this book. And they gave you their perspective about what they believe happened with the election. Was there a consensus here that they really believed that this election was stolen and that's why they came?
Yeah, of course. I mean, let's face it. Unless we're in a position where we have to say, oh, I don't know, I don't think it was stolen, we all know. we all know.
So, I mean, if they do it again, though, because it could happen. It could happen again. I mean, here we have this guy that they're literally propping up and his wifey is condescending behavior after the debate and the poor showing. And I mean, he's even got his own left-wing media turning on him and a lot of, you know, except Pelosi, she'll never turn on him. She's about as lame brain as he is, but and so is Fetterman. But the bigger problem, though, is that all of what we're facing right now, especially with the Democrats all voting against the SAVE Act and Biden saying that, well, don't worry, it'll die in the Senate. And if it ever got to my desk, I'd veto it anyway. All we can do is anticipate one of two things. We're either going to have a false flag attack. Something bad's going to happen in America that stops the election completely, martial law being declared, or they're going to steal it again, and we're going to have another repeat performance, only this time it could be worse. Do you get that feeling?
I'm a ridiculous optimist, Dave. I think, you know what a black swan event is?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was a term like gaslighting that no one knew 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But a black swan event is something totally unexpected that shows up and changes everything, like COVID, for instance. Well, this year, we're all on the lookout for black swans, right? I mean, so yeah. We can't have a black swan because, you know, we're looking, a black swan has to sneak up on us. There's not going to sneak up on us. I think the black swan this year is that the election will be carried off relatively fairly. If they are down by a sufficient margin that they don't think they can steal the votes back, they're going to have to let this one slide. Now, if you recall, in 2020, I remember driving, because I left, I'm upstate New York now, and I came up here to see my place in Missouri to avoid the election. I live in a Democratic neighborhood in Kansas City, you know the city, and I didn't want to be around. So when I left, I remember hearing on the radio that Biden had a 16-point lead in Wisconsin, right? I said, man, even if that's off by 10, even if it's just a 6-point lead, you know, we're in trouble here. So I didn't want to hear. I just shut off all the noise. I watched Up Schitt's Creek for 3 days, you know, reruns. And this time, though, if you could have a plausible scenario in which Biden could have won, as was true in 2020, but it's not. It will not be plausible in 2024. Biden will not win the election in 2024, and I don't think he'll be the nominee. But if he is the nominee, no one's going to buy the vote theft. It'll have to be so obvious and so overt. So many illegal residents being lined up, and you have their addresses used and whatever. They'll just say, no mas. Okay, we give up. We're going to let you get this one, you know? That's the hopeful scenario. There's lots of not hopeful scenarios that we all know, and I just do not entertain them until I have to.
Well, I guess a lot, you know, as the events unfold, I mean, obviously we're looking at the fact that this coming month we have the DNC and the RNC in Milwaukee and Chicago, respectively. And that if Biden is not going to be in the race and they're going to put somebody else in, it would happen just before that. The delegates already from Nikki Haley are going to obviously have to line up behind Trump. A lot of people, because of the fact he didn't drain the swamp the first time, and a lot of the remnants are still there.
Yeah.
And if he were to be reelected, he is going to have to clean house somehow and stop all this nonsense. I mean,
right. And that's really the key issue of the election is that does the rule of law and the Constitution prevail, or do we lapse into this sort of corporate fascist state that the Democrats have concocted? And will the Jacobins take over and let their mobs do their dirty work? I'm glad the election's in November, you know, not in July, right? But it's just curious. I mean, there's so many ifs. I mean, the Democrats, I know they'd probably like to get Biden out and pick someone new before the Republican convention distract from the convention. But at the same time, then the Republicans have their target. You know, they would know more. So we don't know the Republican VP choice yet. This will be a week of news coming up, you know.
It will be.
It should be fun, you know.
I would think, you know, but the bigger thing is, you know, when we're talking about this book and the experiences of all these women, do you think when people read this book that especially women who can relate to this, whether they were there or not? I mean, we really haven't talked about Victoria White per se. What happened to her?
Well, she was, you know, it's interesting because she went to the Capitol just like everyone else. She listened to the Trump speech on the lip. She gets there a little late. She gets to the, by this time, she's on the west side. The people on the east side didn't see, of the Capitol, didn't see the kind of mayhem that was on the west side. She sees someone who looks suspiciously like a paid provocateur breaking out a window on the west side of the Capitol. She tries to stop him, right? And she pulls him off. You know, she succeeds. And then he gets some help, and they continue. And this guy, the window breakers, of course, are never arrested. They somehow they escape identification. But then she gets caught up this near that same tunnel entrance that that Roseanne Boylan did, roughly in the same time frame. And the weird thing about it is now we're talking about 4:30 in the afternoon. People have been walking in and out of the Capitol for 2 hours through a half a dozen open doors and windows. Ashley Babbitt was shot almost 2 hours earlier. So why they're guarding this tunnel entrance like it was the friggin' Alamo, I do not know, except that it made it easy for the cameras crews to concentrate their video. And it was made for good optics, as they say. Anyhow, Roseanne, Victoria, both of them get caught in the crowd. They get pulled into this tunnel entrance. Victoria doesn't want to be there, but the crowd is pushing her there. And neither one of them has the force to resist a crowd like this. I'm not sure you or I would. But she gets caught in the middle of it, and then they just start beating on her. At least two police officers, Capitol Police, beating her over the head, jabbing her. Now her face is bloody. She loses her cell phone. She loses her jacket. She loses her shoes. And then finally, this goes on for a couple minutes. She has a lawsuit pending. And then they pull her out towards the interior from the tunnel. They take her to a police station. They don't arrest her, but they kind of book her or whatever. And then they just send her back out into the streets. Now it's dark. She has no phone, no jacket, and no shoes. She's lost touch with her friends. She doesn't know we don't know anyone's phone numbers anymore, right? So if you borrow a phone and say, I want to call my friends, I have no idea what their numbers are, you know? I know my wife's phone number, but that's about it. And so she had to call back to Minneapolis, Minnesota, to get her sister, who knew one of the other people's numbers, you know? And then she walks barefoot from the police station to Union Station to meet her friends. I mean, that's the way they were treated then. And then she's arrested, right?
When was she arrested? Afterwards or?
Yeah, she was arrested afterwards. And she went through the whole rigors of just like everyone else, trial, sentencing and everything. But then her video surfaces. And now she's got leverage. And they don't want this to go to trial, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they plead it down to like 10 days or something and they let her go. People were taking plea bargains because no one was acquitted by a jury of all these 1,500 people. No one, 100% conviction rate. And the DOJ brags about this as though it were a good thing. It's like Saddam Hussein bragging about his 96% election turnout, you know? They don't have a choice. This is the way they operate. 100% conviction rate, no change of venues. A city that 95% of the people voted against Trump, right? This is democracy. This is what we're saving. The Democrats are saving democracy, right?
No.
Democracy, dignity, decency. Those are the three catchwords. You look at that and are saying, who are you kidding, right? Dignity? What? Does that mean showering with your daughter? I don't know.
Decency? Yeah, that's what I keep asking, too. Where's that diary? I want to read Ashley's writing in that diary. I want to know what this pedophile, and I'm not afraid to call him that.
No,
because,
right.
I mean, if it comes down, I get discovery. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're going to have to cough up that diary one way or another. Somebody's going to get on the stand and testify, and I'll get it out of them.
Yeah.
you know, the thing is that people, when they watch him on camera and they watch what's going on here and they hear about cackling Kamala and where she was and the fact that she could possibly end up as the presidential candidate, I don't see that happening.
I do.
You do? And it's, see, if it does, nobody's going to vote for her. Nobody's going to want that. She can sit there and play the woman of color card all she wants. But the fact of the matter is that she has some of the biggest turnover of any vice president of the United States, even greater than Pence. And I, you know, I can't help but understand how Pence can come out of his shell and make any kind of comment at all, given his behavior on January 6th. Did anybody that you interviewed have anything kind to say about Mike Pence?
No, but, you know, he knew long before January 6th how he was going to behave on January 6th. Mm-hmm. Had he told Trump on January 5th, listen, hey, I get it. I think what he did was justifiable in some universe or another. you can make a case for it. In other words, if you're Mike Pence, why not tell Trump on the 5th? Why let this whole thing? Because Trump is speaking at the Ellipse, believing that Pence still had the authority to do the right thing. And part of it was to inspire the crowd to put a kind of pressure on them, you know, the senators, Congress, to, you know, to do justice to the Constitution and not do justice to the corporate fascist state that pays their bills, you know. So, and I, you know, I talk about all this in Ashley, the untold story of the women of January 6th, because it's a much more rich and complex story than I had ever anticipated.
Wow. And Demi, did you actually get a chance to interview Victoria White in detail after this?
I talked to Victoria White. Yeah, I've only talked to her by phone, but yeah, I talked to her in detail about the whole thing. So.
And she was very forthcoming, I take it?
Yes. She was with her attorney. And so you know, a lot of these women, understandably, a little wary. They don't know me. But that's why I was extremely pleased that they all cooperated, you know, and some are, you know, become friends, basically, you know.
No doubt. Well, and I'm sure that they did. And I'm sure that there's more unity among all these people now that this book is out and they all get to read it and understand the way that other people were thinking and the loss of life and how critical things were and how they could have been different. I'm sure that people are thinking about this in this upcoming election because now here.
Right. And Dave, I'd say the encouraging thing, the heartening thing about the book and why I consider it an oddly upbeat book, despite, you know, the travails that these women have endured, is that none of them broke. None of them said, gosh, Trump is a fool. Why did I listen to him? What was I doing there? You ask them all, they'd go back to Washington again. I mean, you know, one of them said, I wouldn't have broken that window. You know,
yeah.
I'd have gone back to that woman serving 5 years in prison for breaking a window. She has 8 children at home.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that hurts.
And the disparity between the way these people are treated and the way other protesters are treated is just staggering.
No doubt. Jack Cashiel, thanks so much. Ashley, the untold story of the women of January 6th available. Just click on the guest tab at thepowerhour.com. Get your copy now. Thank you, sir, for joining us. God bless you for the work you've done.
Hey, we'll, Dave, be right back. I mean, you keep up the good work, too.
Thank you.
And writing us products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Noon here, Central Time, where we are. I hope you enjoyed our hour-long interview there with Jack Cashel, who has the book out, Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th. Boy, that was... You can just tell by the conversation how much research he did, even though he tried to put this thing in perspective. He got a lot of history out of this. I mean, he's written for Fortune magazine, The Wall Street Journal, The Post, The Weekly Standard, American Thinker, World Net Daily, American Spectator, Washington Times. He serves as executive editor for Ingram's, a regional business magazine. So, I mean, he's been around the block. I mean, this isn't some guy that takes this lightly. He is a doctor, by the way. He's a PhD from Purdue in American Studies, and he's taught media and literature at Purdue and Kansas City area universities and was a Fulbright lecturer in France. So the guy obviously has his act together, folks, and that's one of the reasons why I recommend the book. Phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. If you have a reaction to the to what we just discussed, whether or not you think something like this could happen again, whether or not this time it might be different, that people will say, look, we've lost our country. We have to take it back. How many hundreds of thousands of people want to join us as we march on Washington and give them the definition of insurrection? I mean, how's that going to work? Are people going to sit there and cower in the corner? Are they not going to show up? I mean, if Trump gets elected, are the drag queens going to protest at the Capitol Mall? And are they going to get beat up by Capitol Police? How's that going to work? You see, because we know they don't play fair. And see, not only is this guy that still wants to stay in the race with his little wifey who was not elected president last time we checked. You know, I want to know who's got their hands on the launch codes. That's what I want to know. Peter Ducey wanted to know. At least that was a legitimate question. But then when it comes to Hurricane Beryl, now classified as a weakened tropical depression, which made landfall early Monday on the Texas coast, 1.7 million residents still without power as of yesterday morning. And Biden sitting there complaining that they didn't bother to reach out and I don't have any authority to do anything and declare a disaster declaration, you know, Mr. Mumbles said. Said officials tried to reach out to Abbott and Patrick multiple times, apparently without success. The guy's a liar. And even Dan Patrick, who got an X and wrote, "I'm disappointed that President Biden is turning Hurricane Beryl into a political issue. We had a cordial call today that ended up with him granting my request for a major disaster declaration, but that's not good enough for him. Now he's falsely accusing me that I was not reachable." I hate to say this. Biden, he doesn't understand. He didn't know his own employees from FEMA were standing right there with Dan Patrick. And then he has to make stuff up about it. It's always about that. Come on, man. Dustin in Michigan. How are you, sir? Welcome to the program.
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I wanted to switch the subject over for a second to more health conscious kind of things. So, you know, where the food comes from.
Sure.
And, yeah, I'm going to ask the Heavenly Father to guide me so I don't screw this up. All right. Goes something like this. No corn, no swine, no robot poo. Only real food because we love you.
Okay, I love it.
Okay, there's the ditty. And the explanation right. is, I guess, Leviticus 11:7. And after I started following that for the food laws, as best as I can, things work out better with food. And I used to think people were crazy saying, "Oh, you can't eat pork; that's bad for you." Well, a lot of the joint problems several people I know went away when they stopped eating pork products. Corn, when I say no corn, pretty much anything with the glyphosate realm, any product with that, I would just call it corn. Those glycerides that corn stuff and glyphosate creates in the food when you eat it, our bodies aren't designed to deal with that stuff, and it just creates all kinds of problems. And robot poo, well, that's the Impossible Burgers and all those bug paste and all that stuff. So, anyway, that's just my pipe dream of a good ditty song for a restaurant, if they could actually pull that off.
Well, Dustin, I'll tell you in response to that, last week a Florida bill banning the sale of lab-grown meat went into effect. So, Ron DeSantis signed the bill back in May, and this was, they're going to ban plant-based meats like the famous Impossible Burger. So we're at least halfway there, and there won't be any bugs either.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that we're actually seeing some movement on stuff. And what's your thoughts on the administrative state supremacists being handed their rear end the other day with the Chevron deference being tossed out?
You know, here's the thing. The overreach is going to continue until the right administration gets in power and puts a stop to it. That's about all. Even with Chevron being reversed and the courts basically saying, look, you people can't read in more into the law than is already there than what Congress intended. I mean, this was what they did to the EPA. They did this, you know, when they reversed Chevron and you know, I mean, heck, the Chief Justice was Roberts was looked pretty proud of himself when that happened, because I think they all knew that, just like Roe v. Wade, there was going to come a point in time where this whole thing had to get reversed because things were getting out of hand and these agencies were just taking it upon themselves. They weren't elected and just wanted to go do what they wanted to do and impose stuff on people like the ATF and bump stocks and whatever other little gadgets that attach to weapons that we, the people, are entitled to have. You know, when you get something like Chevron being reversed the way it was, it's going to take an administration that actually, I think, has the chutzpah. And I'm not being Zionist here or playing in that field, but they have to have the chutzpah, the cojones, to actually get in and do something to reduce this garbage. Cleaning house.
I can see your point. I can see your point on that, but I've got to slightly disagree. I think it's upon us. I think we need to start with the local zoning socialists in your own township or your own area, and every time they overstep, we throw this thing right in their face. I think that's the only way we're going to get any long-term change. When these overreaches happen, the only time people really decide that it's something to look at is when it reaches in and hits their pocketbook. And, you know, we have to look at it with that same kind of fervor and go after all the everything from zoning socialists to neighborhood Karens to HOAs to, you know, you name it, the three-letter bandit agencies, all that stuff. We've got to push back on our own.
You're right.
Kind of movement is what moves the goalposts, so to speak.
Well, and organic is exactly right. And I see what you're saying as far as my perspective, as far as what the government can do. And then sometimes I have to sit there and look at what you just said, and I give that more validity than what Washington, you know, we know Washington's never going to clean up their act. Not until they're totally overrun and taken out and totally replaced. I mean, you're right about the fact, and I'm going to digress and move in your direction here. We've always said that enriching your community and empowering your community is going to be the way to go. It's the only way we're going to stop this stuff is to do it on the local level by putting people in power that are going to do what we want instead of what they want and kowtow and get paid off by the elitists. Makes all the sense in the world. I appreciate that. And you see, folks, this is one of the reasons why, and Dustin, thanks for your call. When we have conversations like this, Dustin gave me the why. And it's okay to disagree. Maybe I'm off looking at federal government in my disgust and saying, you know, I don't see this thing happening. No matter when Trump gets in power, they get this Schedule F garbage where, oh, everybody gets to keep their current positions no matter what Trump does in his Project 2025, which he's trying to distance himself from. A lot of it has to do with freedom. And, of course, The Guardian is going to do a smear campaign on it. They're a lib rag, so why wouldn't they? And they're based out of Britain, so why wouldn't they? I mean, look at the hell that Britain and France are going to go to right now. They've all the leftists are in power over there. I mean, you know, you get the trifecta if they manage to do it again here and we the people just stand idly by and do nothing. Well, like I said, if you build a wall around D.C. to where nobody can get in, nobody can get out, I guess these people can't. The people locally, like Dustin just said, are going to have to speak for themselves because the rest of us will just shun D.C. and the hell with these people. Mike in Tennessee, a couple of words.
Yeah, real quick. In 2019, in December, specifically, Fayette County, Tennessee, received a $1 million grant to install a biological waste incinerator, quote, for elimination of, quote, wasting deer. Well, diseased deer don't have to worry about a hunter dragging them off because the coyote's going to take care of them, and it's a non-issue. Then what happened? COVID-19. They still have this huge biological incinerator for biological waste. We all know what that's for.
I get your drift. Yeah, I get your drift. This is like Chain of Lakes, Indiana.
Well, it's like the. Did you get the email I sent you?
It's been a while.
Yesterday, I had a conversation
I didn't get that.
There is a way. There is a way that people can take their 401ks and convert them into physical possessions that they hold, whether it be gold or property. Let's say you've got a $1 million asset in your 401k and you've got a $1 million property that you have a mortgage on. You can legally, and I don't know exactly how to do it, but I've talked to a few people that have done it, and it's a well-hidden secret. They take the the funds that they've got in their 401k pay off their mortgage, and they put the property in the 401k. So they still live on the property. They still own the property, but the IRA account has the lien on it.
And so you
take your money, you bypass taxes, and you bypass any penalties, and it's legal. And there are people doing it, and I've not had access to these people personally, but I've talked to people that it's going on.
Well, and I appreciate that, Mike. The only thing that I'm thinking about here is that if people had that kind of money and they could break away $35,000, their best bet would be to put everything in a legacy trust. I mean, that's what I'm being told by the financial gurus out there, because legacy trusts are impenetrable. Nobody can access them, not even our United States government. Can't happen. And so, you know, this is what the rich elitists have done. The Rockefellers have done it. The Kennedys have done it. There's numerous stories about all these trusts they set up for themselves. And, you know, if you're wealthy enough and you got 35 grand, you want to set up a legacy trust. I know people that do it, and they are. They're doing it, and nobody can find out. Nobody can sue them. To me, whenever you trust the system for anything, 401ks are controlled by the system. They are based on fiat currency. Land, on the other hand, is not based on fiat currency and how it's acquired. I mean, I know people that have bought property with gold and silver. I know people that have bought property with dollar bills and, you know, went through the normal positioning in the title company and stuff got transferred and the government's got a record of it. But see, when it goes into a legacy trust, everything just kind of like disappears. And that includes funds, it includes bank accounts, it includes all that stuff, and nobody knows where it's at. So I appreciate your call, Mike. Thanks. That's something to look into, folks. Elon Musk, by the way, his Neuralink startup is moving on. They're going to put this chip in a second patient. Oh, my. I just don't know about this. Second Amendment, something you should know. And if you have any more calls you want to make, you still have time to get in, 844-769-2944. Press 1 when you get to the prompts to get into the show. We only have a few minutes left to talk. Ammunition out of a vending machine in a grocery store. Can you envision that? In grocery stores in Alabama, Oklahoma, and Texas, customers can buy ammo in vending machines. The company is called American Rounds. Says the machines scan IDs and are quick and easy to use. Activists worry the new transaction will increase gun violence. Oh, yeah, right. Like, where's their evidence? The company installed computerized vending machines to sell ammo in grocery stores in these three states, allowing patrons to pick up bullets along with a gallon of milk. Convenient. American Rounds said their machines use an identification scanner and facial recognition software to verify the purchaser's age and are as quick and easy to use as a computer tablet. Advocates worry that selling bullets out of vending machines will lead to more shootings in the U.S., where gun violence has killed at least 33 people on Independence Day alone. Oh, more than that. Come on, let's look at Blue State City, Chicago. Yeah, and their little fascist Marxist mayor. What, we have 100 shootings? See what I mean? You can sit there and make any kind of case you want, but who's the one doing the gun violence? The lawless, not the lawful. The company maintains the age verification technology means the transactions are as secure or more secure than online sales, which may not require the purchaser to submit proof of age, or at retail stores where there's a risk of shoplifting. Oh, God forbid. Very thankful for those who are taking the time to get to know us and not just making assumptions about what we're about, according to CEO Grant Magers. He said, we're very pro-Second Amendment, but we're responsible for gun ownership. That's what we want, responsible gun ownership. We hope we're improving the environment for the community. He said the grocery stores and others approached the Texas-based company, which began last year, and about the idea of selling ammo through automated technology. The company's got one machine in Alabama, four in Oklahoma, one in Texas, with plans for another in Texas and one in Colorado in the coming weeks. People, I think, get a little shocked when they thought about the idea of selling ammo at a grocery store. But as we explain, how is that any different than selling it at Walmart? So federal law requires a person to be 18 to buy shotgun and rifle ammo and 21 to buy handgun ammo. Mr. Mager said their machines require a purchaser to be at least 21. The machine works by requiring a customer to scan their driver's license to validate they're 21 or over. It checks it's valid, followed by facial recognition to verify you are who you say you are as a consumer. And at that point, you can complete your transaction, your product, you're off and running. Whole experience takes about a minute and a half once you're familiar with the machine. Interesting how that works. Well, you got to love it. This ingenuity. Surveillance state, extremely important. Samsung has unveiled its new Galaxy Ring. It's going to cost you about $400. And the key features, the price, and everything you need to know are on our website. Rumors intensified the tech giant was working on a smart ring last year. What does this do? This ring fits on your finger. It looks like a ring. All right? Intended to cover the categories of wearable smart devices and the nature of a smart ring for doing what? You guessed it. If you said tracking, measuring, monitoring, uploading health, fitness, and sleep-related information, ding, 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 you're right on the money. Right on the money. Yeah. Like that commercial. wow. This is craziness, folks. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you put tracking devices on your person? I mean, you know, a lot of these people are so enamored with the Apple Watch. Oh, I wouldn't go anywhere without it. Yeah, of course. Society knows you have it on. They can track you anywhere you are. Isn't that nice? You think you're safe? Oh, my. BMW is recalling more than 390,000 vehicles due to an airbag inflator issue. Because the airbag inflators can explode, leading to potentially serious injury or death. Oh, you'll get the recall notice. Don't worry. Owner notification letters are to be expected to be mailed on August 23rd. So if your airbag hasn't blown up on you now, you might be expecting a letter in the mail saying, hey, if you have a 2006 through 2011 3-series sedan, series sports wagon, 3-series sports wagon, yeah, they're going to inspect and replace the driver's airbag module as necessary, absolutely free. Here's an interesting little tidbit with your tax dollars. Maryland Governor Wes Moore, who is a Democrat, called on Congress to pass a bipartisan bill to fund the reconstruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge over Baltimore's harbor at a cost of $3.1 billion. Of course, Republicans in the House are skeptical. They could have a majority and they could block that bill. The Biden administration submitted that $4 billion funding request to Congress. You see, here's the thing. They're asking for 3.1. Biden submits one for $4 billion. Well, if it isn't cost overruns, what is it? You got to wonder about that. Is this some of this going into somebody's pocket, a little kickback thing going on here? I mean, we can't trust our U.S. government anymore, can we? I mean, we have some real serious problems here. The U.S. State Department has announced the expansion of its visa restriction regime to include executives of tourism-related companies involved in facilitating illegal immigration into the U.S., specifically through Nicaragua. Yeah, we'll see how far they enforce that. You got to wonder. We got some pretty intense commentary in our email blast as well as posted online about Project 2025, total control, everything as a weapon when totalitarianism is normalized. You might want to read it. It's fairly lengthy. I posted the entire article and as well as the Guardian's response to that. Because, see, the Guardian has a whole different thing about Trump and Project 2025. They're trying to pin the tail on him. And, of course, Trump on Truth Social last week claimed to know nothing about Project 2025 and who's behind it. The disavowal from Trump came after Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation, said, quote, "We are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be." Okay. Project 2025 is a Heritage Foundation effort to align the conservative movement behind policies that an incoming right-wing president should undertake. pretty much his manifesto of undoing everything that's been done. All right. Pretty much. Now, whether or not Trump share the same vision with Project 2025 remains to be seen, but the left-wing media is using it to scare voters into not voting for the sick and twisted that's currently occupying the Oval Office. We're out of time for today, and the things we didn't get to cover, you can go on our website at thepowerhour.com. Shop at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829 right now, because Jay and Linda are standing by to take your orders if you want to talk to a live human being. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.